Hi, everybody. This is Charles Lewis.
Hello, this is Todd Lewis.
Todd, you don't know about this because I didn't have a chance to tell you, but I just got an email from Tom Morelli, photographer in Brewer, Maine. He said, "Hey, Chuck and Todd, my wife is an ICU nurse of 17 years. She used a Lewis Law the other day, and it may have saved lives. A patient had lost it, perhaps drug-related, and security was called, but the patient was threatening to run out of his room, hurt people, and escape. My wife said she thought of me as she entered the room alone and took the non-threatening fig leaf pose and began to ask questions of the patient. She stayed calm, and the patient began to mirror her in posture and tone and a calmer demeanor. But the kicker is this. Every time she asked a question and the patient blurted out a complaint or a problem, my wife said the only thing she could think of was what you taught me. She calmly said, 'I can certainly understand why you feel that way. If I were you, I'm sure I'd feel the same way myself.' And then went on to explain the benefits of him acting in a non-harmful manner. By the time security got there, she had talked down the patient, a doctor had administered a sedative, and my wife went out and got a standing ovation from her fellow nurses and doctors. She called me and very excitedly said, 'Tell Chuck Lewis he'd be proud of me. Not only did I keep this guy from hurting anybody or himself, I bet I could have helped him become happily involved with a wall portrait if there was one around.'"
Nice.
Isn't that great?
Well, that is, yeah, what an incredible testament that is to the principles that we're revealing to you, and that is that in life we are selling something every moment that we're awake, pretty much.
Yep.
Whether it's, you know, selling our ideas or our philosophies to somebody, whether it's selling our, you know, your children on what they should and shouldn't do, and here it was basically somebody selling sanity is kind of what that was. But you know, it's all about relating to people. Selling is not a negative thing. It's gotten a very negative rap for a lot of reasons in this country and throughout the world, but selling does not have to be, nor should it be, a negative thing. It shouldn't be us against them. It shouldn't be you against your potential client or customer.
Right.
It should be both of you working together for the common good or for a mutually beneficial outcome, which in our instance happens to be our customer investing in an adequate size portrait for their home that they will cherish for the rest of their lives. And the benefit to us is we make a wonderful living doing what we love.
That's right.
And so both people went out. And in this case, both people won out. The nurse won out, you know.
Yep.
The patient won out because they didn't have to be taken down with a taser or
That's
mace
right.
or have the SWAT team come in and
That's right.
take them down. So, you know, you got to keep those things in mind whenever you're looking at how can I become a better salesperson as a photographer. Don't immediately think, "I don't want to be perceived as a salesperson," because when you do it right, you will never be perceived as a salesperson. You'll be perceived as somebody who truly has empathy and cares for their clients, for their customers, and that's when people will respond to you.
That's right, and that leads directly into today's subject. As you've heard us say many times, marketing is salesmanship in print. And I know the economy is a little challenging right now, and some of you are complaining or concerned or nervous about what's going on. And so Todd and I want to kind of walk you down the 12 best free or almost free ways to get your phone ringing or your emails to be coming in with highly qualified prospects in this day and age. I mean, if you're on a tight budget and you've got to watch every penny, these 12 ways are going to really help you. And you have to remember that diversity leads to security. That you can, as you hear me say many times, you've got to think of marketing as a table. And if a table only has one leg, it will not stand up. What you want to do is have diversity. You want to have 12, 20 different ways that you are bringing in clients and prospects to your photography business. But today we're going to talk about the 12 free or almost free best ways to do that.
And, you know, regardless of whether you're having financial challenges at any moment, you know, everyone's looking for the least expensive and yet most effective ways to market.
Yeah.
And so that's what we're going to be talking about here today, because this is what will set you apart from everyone else who is either doing one of two things. No marketing at all, which is
right.
What majority of photographers do, even when it's not a bad economy.
Yep.
Or they're just looking around to see what everyone else is doing, usually the people who are not successful, because unfortunately the majority of people are not successful, and they're copying what they do.
Yep.
So what we're going to talk about today are the most effective things that you can do immediately that don't cost you much money. Some of them indeed are actually free, or you know, I mean, $20, $30, you know, something like that. So let's jump right into that if you're ready, Dad.
And, I'm ready.
And start with number one, which is website marketing.
Yep.
Now, website marketing, I mean, I can't really honestly say that it's completely free.
No.
Because it's not, but it is, in the grand scheme of things, it pretty much is almost free. I mean, you'll have a little bit of hosting charges for your website, you know, maybe, 15, 20 bucks a month at the most. You shouldn't ever need to pay more than that. And what it allows you to do is it allows you to have virtually an unlimited printing press at your fingertips that is working for you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And the beauty of a website is, and so many people miss this point, is that on the web, people are searching for you. You're not searching for customers.
Right.
The customers are searching for you. And that's such a distinctly different approach to marketing than we've ever really been able to do in the past, other than, you know, the yellow pages, I guess. But let's not even talk about that.
Yeah.
You know, certainly not free, and certainly not particularly effective unless you do it exactly the right way. But with the internet, people go on and they search for something. They're looking for something. So when they find you, they're already that much closer to making the decision of at least contacting you, of at least taking the next step toward working with you.
Yep. And the biggest mistake that photographers are making is they're trying to make a pretty sight because we are artists. We try, you know, we're visually oriented. We try to make it look really pretty. We want to be proud of our website. And you got to get over that. You've got to get over that. I was just listening on the way over to the recording studio, Todd, to a CD by one of the people that we study with all the time. And they were talking about this one particular person's website. And he said, well, I'm pretty proud of it because it's so ugly. You know, and you just don't hear that. You don't hear people talking like that. And he, you know, and then he went on to talk about why he's so proud of it being ugly, because ugly stands out, and it talks to them on a conversational level and gets them involved, and it has a particular purpose. And that's what we're all about as well. You want your website to have a purpose, and the purpose is not to look pretty. The purpose is to get clients,
and
that's what it's there for. It's not. And we're not saying you have to make it ugly.
Right.
Don't get me wrong. We want to be proud of our work, and we want to show our work off in a beautiful way. But the main thing is we want to get people involved. We want to have a what we call a copy-intensive website that gets people involved and has a purpose. And the purpose is to capture the name and the email address, and preferably the snail mail address, of everybody who visits. And so I know, Todd, you could talk for 10 hours on this, but if you want to just throw out a couple of main key points, because so many photographers are missing this stuff.
You know, the key is, and I don't want it to sound like we are anti-attractive website.
Right.
It's not, we're not just saying you got to make it ugly. We're saying don't make the focus making it pretty.
Right.
And do not by any means allow any decision to go into the design of your website that doesn't factor into one thing: getting the person who's visiting the site to take the next action toward working with you. If what you've got on your site isn't going to help them to make that decision, then take it off.
Yep.
Don't have it on. A slideshow does not have a prayer of getting someone to take action. It's something pretty to look at. It's something you can be proud of. It's something you can call all your friends and say, look at my cool website. And trust me, I understand what that's like, because I come from a graphic design background. I like to create things that are attractive. But that's an ego thing. And we got to set ego separate from marketing savvy, okay?
Right on.
I could care less now whether my websites are pretty. All I care about is, are they effective? And so the best ways to make them effective are to use very similar approaches that you use offline. Use the same techniques you use in your offline marketing on your website. Make it copy intensive. Have benefits all over. Have reasons for them to take action now. Have deadlines for them to take action. Special offers on your website that are very clear. Have photographs with accompanying testimonials not slideshows. Because if they're a slideshow and you go with the correct rule, which is to never have a photograph anywhere without an accompanying testimonial, if you're doing a slideshow, you probably don't have testimonials then. And if you do have testimonials, they're not up on the screen long enough for somebody to read them because it's already advancing to the next slide.
That's right.
So you can see how a slideshow is very, very difficult to do and have it be effective. So those are just a couple of quick things about the website. And then also, when you're getting them to take action, give them multiple ways to take the next step toward working with you. Give them the option to give you a call and just chat, no cost, no obligation, over the phone about having a portrait created. Give them the opportunity to request further information about whatever type of photography it is they're interested in having you create for them. Also, you can even give them the opportunities, of course, give them the opportunity to email you any questions they have. You've got to give them that opportunity. Email can be a challenge, you know, because it's so easy for people to hit the delete button. But what I really hate is when you go to a website and you can't figure out how to contact somebody. I just want to know how to get a hold of somebody and ask them a question or whatever. So you got to make sure that's very clear how they can get a hold of you and ask questions. Because when they ask you a question, whether it's by email or picking up the telephone, they are giving you a buying signal. They're saying, I'm interested enough to ask you a question. So that is a really qualified, at least potentially qualified customer. We don't know what their investment, you know, level is, what their threshold is to invest, but they've at least raised their hand and said, you know what, based on what I've seen so far about you, I'm interested in talking more. I want this question answered. Boom. You got to make sure that you're able to stay in contact with those people.
Yep. And then one last quick note, and that is never, ever under any, and I don't say that very often, but never, ever under any circumstances put any prices on your website at all. And there's many, many reasons for this, but the first most obvious one, which we'll just mention and move on to number two here on our list, but the most obvious reason is, of course, you know, what's the most often asked question you get? You know, you're trying to open up a relationship with people, with prospects who you can build a rapport with, build some trust with, and get them to become happily involved with your photography services. All right. So if you put all your prices on your website, there's no reason to contact you. There isn't any reason. You gave me the answer I wanted, and those prices are outrageous. I'll just keep looking. I'll go to the next site I want to go to, and I'll look at somebody else's stuff, and they're gone. Whereas if you have no mention of any fees of any kind, you know, they're dying to know. And so in our American culture, that's the first question we ask. How much do you charge? But at least it opens the door. It opens a relationship. You now have an email address because they sent you an email. You know, you can start a rapport building relationship.
Yep, absolutely. So that's number one is website and effective internet marketing, which number two is an extension of internet marketing.
Yeah, it is, because what good does it do to have this great website that's really effective and that gets people to take action? And if nobody knows the website's there, I mean, it's like building a store in a ghost town. Okay, you got a really nice store, but you're in a ghost town. Nobody knows you're there.
Yep. So number two on the list is called pay per click. Pay per click. What this is it's a search engine thing, you know, in Google or in Yahoo or MSN. When you go in there and you type in a search, not only do you get a list of searches that come up, but you also get what are called sponsored links in Google. Those are the ones that are on the right-hand side. What those are people who are paying per click to have their ads displayed. Now, the beauty here is, because this is a really big opportunity here, now, you're probably thinking, okay, well, this obviously isn't free because you said the word pay. It's pay per click. Yes, it is. But the beauty is, because we're photographers, we're working in a small geographical area. Our target market is not on the web from all over the world. We're not looking to get people from Texas, unless you're a photographer in Texas. If you're a photographer in Michigan, you're not looking for people in Texas that are looking for a portrait photographer. You're not looking for people in India that are looking for a portrait photographer most of the time, you know, unless you're doing destination weddings and, you know, that's a whole separate thing. But the majority of you are going to be looking for a very geographical area. And the beauty is with pay-per-click search engines, at least with Google, I know you can do geographic areas. You can say, I only want my ad to appear for certain geographical areas. So basically what this means is you're paying whenever somebody, not when whenever somebody sees your little listing come up on Google when they do a search. You're not paying every time they see it or that it pops up. You're only paying a very small amount of money when somebody clicks on that, i.e. when they actually come to your website through that portal.
Yep. And so, when Todd says a very small amount, why don't you tell him what kind of money you're talking
well,
about?
Well, it really depends. I mean, it's a bidding type of a thing. But the beauty is, I mean, you're talking, you know, 10, 20, 30 cents sometimes a click.
Yeah, and even for the local, I mean, because you're only going local, sometimes it's a nickel.
It can be, yeah, it can be very low. I mean, it also depends on how specific you get with the keywords that you're acting on. So if you want to do this, the place that I would start, and I would strongly recommend this because the beauty is no joke, within 20 minutes,
yeah,
you can have your website appearing in the top five on Google for your keywords. I mean, no joke. Now, if you're doing standard, what's called search engine optimization, if you're trying to get your site to naturally come up that way, you could spend months working on it and still not get into the top five, depending on what you're doing. So that's the beauty of this, is within 20 minutes, you can have something up and you can start seeing results right away, gauging results. But the beauty is you only pay when people click on your ad.
Yeah, and it's just an amazingly fun thing to do because, like Todd said, you see instant results. You can start looking at things and tweaking things, and it's just amazing.
So to get started on that, what you'll want to do is just go to Google and then click on the advertising programs. I believe it's advertising programs is the link.
Or you can go to www.adwords.google.com, and that takes you right to the page that is AdWords.
Yep,
either way. It's called Google AdWords.
Yep, and it gives you a tutorial that'll walk you through exactly how to get started here in doing Google AdWords.
It's very powerful. I mean, there's no comparison. I mean, you think of terms of Yellow Pages ads that I am so, unless you have an enormous budget, a Yellow Pages ad is just a waste of money because it's not going to bring you the qualified people who are going to be willing to invest a significant amount of money for your services. And that's what we're all about. We want to charge a significant amount of money, keep the volume of photography that we do relatively low so that we're not killing ourselves, you know, working 80 hours a week. All right. Well, the Yellow Pages, unless you have a huge budget, you can't really get a good qualified caller because you don't have enough space for enough words. But with pay-per-click, keep in mind, 86%, this is the latest Nielsen Net Survey results, 86% of internet users search for local products and services online. 86%, and that's up from 70% in 2007. So keep in mind, a lot of people, I mean, I know, Todd, you don't even use the Yellow Pages. Why in the world would you use the Yellow Pages, you know? And what this does is you're sending them to your site, which can be, you know, 100 pages long. So you can more qualify them before the phone rings. Keep in mind, your marketing, the job of your marketing isn't just to get the phone to ring or just to get emails coming in. It's to get more qualified calls and more qualified emails so you don't have to work yourself to death trying to convert those people into clients.
But the point is, get out there and get started right now because it's going to cost you so little money. Plus, you can put a cap on how much you're willing to spend per day.
Yep.
That's another thing that you can do. So you can just test it out, see how it works. And, you know, maybe you're spending a couple bucks a day or something on some clicks, and you'll get some immediate results to see how those and you can also track conversions. You can not only convert how many people come to your website, but how many people take a specific action once they come to your site. It's absolutely fascinating.
It is just amazing.
So let's move on to number three here on the list. Number three is, and this is such an important one, and I want to preface this before I bring it up by saying that do not make the mistake of thinking to yourself, I don't have enough VIPs to do this.
Yeah, number three is telemarketing to your VIPs. And what VIP stands for, very important patron. Very important patron. That means a VIP is someone who you have worked with before. You never have past clients. You only have VIPs because once a client works with you, they become a client for life. They're a member of your family now, your business family, and they're never a past client. They're always a current client. And telemarketing is telemarketing always makes money. Okay, you want a sure thing? You want a positive sure thing? Telemarketing always makes money. It costs practically nothing. I mean, you know, some time, but that's it. And it always makes money. So if you're sitting there and you're saying, oh, but Chuck, you know, I'm a brand new photographer. I just started today. I have zero VIPs. Okay, well then stay tuned. We'll talk about other things that don't involve VIPs. And you know, you've worked with people. This is an enormous asset that most photographers, bless their hearts, ignore. And so by telemarketing, what I mean is, if times are tough, if you want a little extra money, all you do is you take your list of your VIPs and you kind of sort them by the best people that you've worked with. You know, you look at, I always look at sales. I look at the, you know, what was the total sale? And I sort them, you know, starting with the biggest sales going down to the smallest sales. Okay. And then we just start at the top of the list and you just make a phone call. You know, you just give these people a call. And when you get them, and you don't leave a message, I'm not into leaving messages. That's not the purpose of this. The purpose of this is to regain the relationship. And so what you do is you just call them up, and when they answer the phone, if they don't answer, just hang up. If they answer the phone, you say, hey, how you doing? This is Charles Lewis from Charles Lewis Photography. You know what? I haven't heard from you in a long time. I'm just wondering how you were doing. And how's little Jennifer doing? When we did her portrait, you know, she was 2.5 years old. And how is she doing? You know, and then they, oh, it's so nice of you to call. And the whole purpose of this is a friendly relationship renewal call. You're not trying to sell anything. No way. You're selling something. You're selling yourself. You're selling the fact that you care about these people. You're selling the fact that you noticed that you haven't worked with them recently. Okay, that's what you're selling. But you're not trying to sell a product or anything right now. You're just trying to regain the relationship. And what you're going to find out happens is as you're chatting with them and you're asking them about their family and you're asking them about little Jennifer, and then she says, oh, by the way, we just had a new baby. And oh, congratulations. You're not saying anything. You're not selling anything, you know, you're just chatting. She's going to say, you know, it's so interesting that you called, because, you know, I was just talking with John last night saying, you know, we should get a portrait of Jennifer with our new little baby and John Jr., you know, I mean, and here you are calling me, you know, how much would it cost, you know, to, there you go.
And all it takes is one. I mean, yeah. If you make, let's say you make 10, 15, 20 calls, all it takes is one of those. All you paid for, well, you paid nothing, basically. Yeah, I mean, you got the time, because these are going to be most likely local calls, so you're not paying long distance. You're taking the time. And see, the beauty of that is for those of you that are listening that are thinking to yourself, I have no money, I got lots of time, because I don't have any clients coming in, the economy's hurting or whatever. I don't have, you know, I'm not busy. Well, then pick up the phone and start calling your VIPs.
Yeah.
Because there's no excuse not to do that. Again, it's not going to, we're not talking about coming across like a, when you say telemarketing, I don't want you to have this negative image of it. It's not,
right.
Hi, this is Todd at Time Life. We'd like you to buy some encyclopedias. It's not that kind of thing. It's you're just calling to continue that relationship with them. And you're going to get one or two people out of that are going to say, yeah, you know what? We need to have another portrait done anyway. I'm glad you called. Great. Well, let's set up a time for you to come in and chat. No cost, no obligation. And we'll, boom, I've got next Tuesday at 4:30. How's that work for you? Have your calendar in front of you.
Yeah.
Very important thing, because you're going to want to close that right then and there. Somebody says, oh, I've been meaning to call you anyway. Get that chat put in the books right now. That's a huge buying signal. So telemarketing can be very effective.
Yeah, Todd, I have to mention this. I haven't mentioned this to you either. You didn't know about this, but a couple of weeks ago, I got a phone call. It happened. He left a message, which I'm not recommending you do, but it's interesting because I got a phone call. When I got home, there was a message on my machine, and it was from the guy who had cleaned our eaves troughs at the studio. Okay, I think he did it last year and the year before. And it's just a little nice little message. And he said, hey, you know, Chuck, this is so-and-so. And, you know, we cleaned your eaves last year. And, you know, it's that time of year again, you know. And why don't you give us a call? Because you don't want any problems here in the winter, man, where they're getting frozen up there and stuff. And, you know, we'd like to work with you again. And here's my number. And that was it. And it was the funniest thing, because the minute I listened to it, I said, aha, telemarketing to your VIPs. And then I erased the message. And then for like the next 24 hours, I kept thinking about that, Todd. I kept thinking about, you know, he's right. You know, those eaves are probably full of leaves again. You know, I should call him, you know. This stuff works, folks. This stuff works. And hardly anybody does this. And if times are tough or you want a little extra money on top of everything else, this is one of the best, most sure things. It's almost a sure thing. It's just amazing. And then obviously the last thing you do when you call these people and you get them on the phone is you update their email address, because absolutely, positively, you never talk to anybody under any circumstances without getting their current email address.
Yeah, and update actually all their information, their physical address as well, because it is possible that they moved and their phone number stayed the same.
That is true.
So
that
you will want to update all their information while you got them on the phone. But yes, get their email address, because that's going to bring us to number four.
Yep. Number four is emails to your VIPs. And this is an extremely big thing. And Todd, I know you really are into this. So you just want to give a couple little, mention a little couple pointers about emails to your VIPs?
Well, yeah, email, I mean, I don't want to give the impression that email should ever replace direct mail.
No.
Okay? It's something that you should do in conjunction with direct mail. It's another leg of the marketing table, okay?
Right.
So don't be tempted to have email be all of the marketing you do because it's quote-unquote free. Sometimes you do get what you pay for. Keep that in mind. Email marketing can be very effective when it's done correctly, but don't bank all of your, you know, don't put all your eggs in that email basket. However, emailing to VIPs can be very powerful as long as you do a couple of things. First of all, when you email them, you're going to want to make sure that there's going to be some content in that email that is going to have a perceived value to your VIP. So, for example, you're not just going to want to send out emails to all your VIP saying, hey, I want you to come in and have a portrait created, because that's not going to be effective. It's going to come across as just kind of sales pitchy, and people do not respond well to that. However, if you can come up with, for example, an email newsletter that you're going to send out to your VIPs, and remember, don't make it an email newsletter about photography. Make it an email newsletter about things that your clients would be interested in. For example, family life, how to raise children correctly, you know, things to do in the community that are family oriented, things like that. And then make sure that you put in the subject heading of the email. The subject head is the most important single part of your email, because if it does not appeal to them instantly, they hit the delete button. We've all done it. We go through there very quickly and just delete these things as fast as our finger can punch that delete button.
It's so, actually the headline for the email.
It's yeah, and it's even more important sometimes than other headlines, because they can't see anything else.
Yep.
In a direct marketing piece, they might be that, you know, if that headline didn't catch them, maybe they will see a word in the first sentence that'll catch their eye, you know.
Yeah.
But here, that's all they see. So you want, and here's a key tip, and I don't think we've ever mentioned this in any form ever before. I don't think I've mentioned this. I might have mentioned this to a couple consulting students of ours. When you're crafting the subject head of your email, put the most relevant and important words at the beginning of the sentence in the subject head.
Yep.
Why do we do that? Because we don't know how long of a subject head your recipient is going to be able to read. Sometimes they can only read, you know, the first five or six words. Other times they might be able to read all 10 words of your headline or of your subject head. So you want to make sure you put the most relevant and important and benefit-laden words first in your subject head. Major, major key point on email marketing. And then you're going to do the same. You're going to approach your emails in a very similar way that you would when you're doing telemarketing also. I mean, there are a couple of different ways you can do emails. You can do the newsletter approach, which I just talked about, where you're just getting in contact with them and giving them some friendly information that they look forward to getting to every week or every month. Or you can do exactly what we just did with the telemarketing. You send an email out just, you know, saying along the lines of, hey, John, just hadn't heard from you in a while. Wanted to see how you and Susie and the three kids and the dog Bucky were doing. And how are you loving the portrait? I your house was so gorgeous when we came and displayed that portrait so proudly over your fireplace. And just wanted to check in and see how things were going and see if there's anything I can do for you. Boom. There you go.
Yep.
So you're treating it almost like the telemarketing. And that's the other way that you can use emails. I would use it both ways.
Third way. One of our members, Dina Ivory, hello, Dina, was very, very successful. Just recently, she did a client survey. She owns the Raid My Vault package, Todd, and she took the client survey out of the Raid My Vault binders and emailed it. You know, we usually recommend snail mailing, but she emailed it because she wanted to take action quickly. She's a very active, proactive doer kind of a person. And she emailed it, and it brought in an enormous enormous amount of additional revenues to her. Enormous. I mean, she was just thrilled. She sent me an email and she just couldn't believe it. She was so thrilled with how much almost instant money it brought into her. And it's just a survey saying, you know, we're looking at and staying up on exactly doing the very finest service we can possibly do. And if you wouldn't mind just answering a couple of quick questions to give us some advice and some input and some feedback and blah, blah, that's all it took.
Yep.
So that's another way to use emails. So emails to your VIP is very important.
And now moving on to number five, which is a slight extension of number three, which was telemarketing. And number five is what's called voice broadcast to VIPs. Okay, Dad, you want to give a quick a quick little idea of what voice broadcast is for anyone who might not know?
Most of you probably know what this is, and that's when you get something sent to your telephone that is not live. It's not a live person on the other end, and I know you hate them, I know, but don't turn the CD off or don't go to the next track here, because if you do a voice broadcast correctly, it is incredibly effective. The problem is 99.5% of all the people who use voice broadcast do it wrong, and therefore it ticks a lot of people off and everybody hates it, and if it's on their machine they just hit delete and it's gone. And you know what you have to do is you have to do it in a certain correct way, and that is to send off this message and make it, you know, word it in such a way that it's as if you are live. It's as if you're actually live. Now, I think this guy that called about the Eves, if I remember correctly, Todd, I think he used my name. I think he did at the beginning. But I'm not 100% sure. That could have been a voice broadcast to me. Because all you do is you make it exactly the same that you would say if you were talking to their machine. The only thing you don't do is you don't mention their first name at the beginning of it. You don't say, hey, Chuck and Sherry, sorry I missed you. You just say, hey, this is Charles Lewis, I'm sorry I missed you. And then you leave the message. Okay, and if you do it correctly, so it's exactly the way you would do it if you were talking live, except you just leave out their name, and do it very conversationally, very, you know, very friendly. It doesn't, you don't want it to be perfect because, you know, you're talking live. Okay. It's just absolutely astounding at what this can do. So for example, you'd say, hey, this is Charles Lewis. I'm really sorry I missed you. You know, I just wanted to call and see how you guys were doing. You know, I haven't talked with you in a while and, you know, we haven't worked with you in a while either. And we just kind of miss you. And I wanted to let you know that we really have enjoyed working with you in the past. And, you know, we've got this really cool thing, a special offer here for the holidays, you know, and we're really excited to work with you again. So why don't you just give me a call? The number's blah, 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 blah. Thanks. Sorry, I missed you. Bye-bye.
And the important thing to remember is you got to have some sort of call to action. You got to have them do something at the end of that call.
That's right.
And give them a compelling reason to do it. The other thing to keep in mind, too, is when you're setting up voice broadcasts, the technology allows you to set up a different message for if somebody answers the telephone live.
Yep.
So you can have a slightly different message because you don't want it to say, hey, this is, you know, Charles, I'm sorry I missed you. Because
right.
you didn't miss them. They answered the phone. So you can have two different messages, one for if somebody answers live and one for if they answer by phone. And we're not going to spend a lot of time on that because we could talk for a long time on that. And what we're going to get to in the next section here, after one more thing, we're going to start talking about things you can do immediately to bring in new customers.
Yes.
Into your
new clients.
Into your studio.
But the company that I use that I happen to very much like is Market Touch Media. And you can see them at markettouchmedia.com, but there's only one T there. It's markettouchmedia.com. Everything's done online and of course recorded through your telephone. It's very easy to do. I mean, it really is very easy to do. And it's extraordinarily, shockingly inexpensive. Shocking. I mean, you'll just die when you find out how little this costs. So that brings us to number six, which is direct response marketing by snail mail to your VIPs. The most successful thing that we do, that we recommend you do, is a newsletter. Todd talked about an email newsletter, but I've always preferred a snail mail newsletter because we can put it in an envelope and then we can piggyback our special sales letter for a special offer in with the newsletter, so that the sales letter is separate from the newsletter. It's in the same envelope, but it's a separate paper. And very, very effective with special offers only for your VIPs, with a deadline, with a limited number of people you can do this offer for because you're so darn busy, blah, blah, blah. Very, very effective. I can't recommend it enough. Direct response marketing by snail mail is one of the single most effective things you can do. But no, it's not free. However, you're only sending it to your VIPs. You're not sending it to thousands and thousands and thousands of people. And if you do happen to have thousands of VIPs, then you're going to sort them. You're going to segment them. Okay. You're going to break your list up and you're going to say, I only want to do this snail mail stuff to the very, very best VIPs I have because, yeah, I got to pay postage. I got to pay printing, you know, but it's still very inexpensive in the great scheme of things. Which then brings us to number 7, which is exhibits. And you've heard me talk about this hundreds of times. I can't imagine where I'd be if it wasn't for exhibits, free exhibits all over the community. I just can't imagine. That's how I became famous. That's how I call this the power of presence. You have to have amazing presence in your community. You've got to become famous. And unless you've got an unlimited marketing budget, you know, you got to find the best inexpensive or free ways to do it. And exhibits, there's just no comparison. Because again, like Todd mentioned earlier here, we're not chasing after someone with an exhibit. We're simply waiting until someone walks by the exhibit, takes a lift card and says, you know, I'm going to give them a call. You're not chasing them. They start chasing you. It's a very big, different whole. So the phone call is better. It's more qualified because they've looked at your photography. They like your photography or they wouldn't call you. Okay, they like it. And they have a specific interest, a specific need, a specific deadline, a specific something they need or they'd like to have a photograph for, whether it's for a birthday present, whatever, or for a wedding that's coming up. It's absolutely amazing how powerful these exhibits are and how inexpensive they are to do because you're not making brand new photographs every time you put exhibits up. What you're doing is you're rotating the photographs all over the community. You know, my benchmark is to have 12 permanent exhibits. That's what you want to aim for. 12 permanent exhibits all over the community. And then you just take them and you change them every 30 to 45 days, moving the photographs around from location to location. So you're actually not printing all brand new photographs every single time. You just, you know, and what I do is when I'm having a wall portrait printed for a client, I simply order one for myself at the same time. So I'm getting it at the second print price. You know, I'm saving money and I'm slowly but surely, and I've been doing this for 37 years, I'm slowly but surely over the years building up an enormous, I wanted to say database, Todd, in this modern day and age, but an enormous repertoire of sample images that I can now have traveling all over the community. Very, very a powerful thing. And then number 8, leg of your marketing table are specialty exhibits. Now, this is something that most photographers really, really miss, and it's extraordinarily powerful because what you want to do is you want to have two exhibits at least, that have something to do with the community, something to do with something that's going on in the community, where people start seeing you everywhere. And the main power of specialty, like for me, the first one I did was back in, the early 70s. I did the best dressed men of Grand Rapids. If I were doing it now, it would certainly be the best dressed people of Grand Rapids. But back then, I did the best dressed men of Grand Rapids. And it was published in a local magazine. And it also traveled all over the town. And what the power of this, and then the next one is the Grand Rapids Symphony Gallery, which we add 2 photographs every year to. I don't even know how many images now. Sherry does all this, but I think it's like 28 or 29 images in that exhibit now because we've been doing this for so long. And then the third one we have is the Grand Rapids Ballet Gallery. And you can see that these are things that are actively involved with artistic kind of endeavors, at least the ballet and the symphony, and they have something to do with the community, so it's easier to get the exhibit up someplace, okay, like a mall. See, you know, the best place to exhibit are high traffic areas. That's where you want them, okay? I'm not a real big fan of dentist's office and doctor, although dentists and doctors have a lot of people going through there, but it's kind of a negative psychographic when they're in there. It's not a real positive thing, so I'm not a huge fan of that. I mean, it's better than nothing, but I want big, high, I want malls, I want movie theaters, I want restaurants, you know, really nice restaurants. I want places where a lot of people are going to see these photographs, okay? And then some of those people are going to take a lift card off of it. And the thing about this is exhibits, you know, you got to go out, you got to know how to sell it, you got to convince them to let you display your photographs in their establishment. It's a sales assignment, but it's so much easier if it's a specialty exhibit because it has something to do with the community. So now you're not just doing, quote, an advertisement exhibit. It's an exhibit about maybe the United Way exhibit that Greg Phelps is so successful with, or the American Cancer Society. You know, you can have all kinds of involvement with exhibits that people will say, yeah, I'd love to show that. You know, this would be great, because it's not just a commercial for you. It's also something about something that's going on in the community.
Yeah, and think outside the box, you know, local fire department, the local police department, you know, where you do photographs of all the members of those institutions, heroes of Grand Rapids, and you do just a little bit of research of people around Grand Rapids that are making a real difference in the community, and you photograph them, and you have these traveling exhibits. It's so much easier to get a specialty exhibit a lot of the time in locations where you normally wouldn't be able to get an exhibit at all, and that gets you so much profile, because it also gives the sense of community involvement and community endorsement when it comes to your photography.
Yeah, because where you're exhibiting, that is an implied endorsement from that location. They're saying you are so great that we want to show your photography in our establishment because you're such a terrific photographer, terrific artist. Very powerful. The first place I ever learned this was from Paul Linwood Giddings. If you're a Texas person, you certainly know who Paul Linwood Giddings was and remember his airport exhibits of distinguished people of the communities. I mean, you know, that's the first place I discovered this. And then when I understudied with the great Donald Jack, one of the very first things I did as an apprentice with him was help him change a social women's club exhibit. I'll never forget it, where he has had beautiful photographs of all these members of this very elite social women's club. And we took all the photographs out and put them up as an exhibit for something that was going on in the community, some event or something. And so that just drove it home to me even more how incredibly important these specialty exhibits are.
So see, what we're talking about here, this is, about getting new clients in the door.
That's right.
And that's kind of what we're focusing on right here. And it can also have a nice benefit of reminding your VIPs when they see you somewhere too. Oh yeah, I wanted to get another portrait created. And so there are many benefits to having exhibits and specialty exhibits throughout your community.
And you could really call this branding. I mean, that's really what we're doing here, is you're using these 12 free or almost free ways to get your phone ringing with highly qualified people. You're really using it to create a brand, and you're doing it for very little money compared to what most companies have to invest for their marketing budget. These 12 ways are very inexpensive, and they're going to make you famous if you actually do this. See, the thing you have to do is, instead of sitting there saying, gee, I sure hope somebody calls me today, you know, you got to motivate yourself, you know, to get up off the chair and go out there and shake hands, introduce yourself, get exhibits, talk to the symphony, the ballet, the opera, the whoever in your community that you feel that you could work with to create some specialty. I mean, you have to get up and go do this stuff. You are a marketer and seller of photographic services. You are not a quote photographer. Which brings us to number 9, which is joint ventures and endorsed mailings. A very important, powerful thing that very, very few photographers ever take advantage of. I mean, my favorite example, just to give you a quick example, is the veterinarian. A veterinarian has a database of all of his clients and patients, okay? And so, if you do a joint venture or an endorsed mailing, and they're different. A joint venture is where you say, what I'd like to do is to do a thank you to all of your people you work with, all of your patients, okay? So as a thank you for working with you, you are going to give them a beautiful portrait by Charles Lewis, okay? Now, you know, just between you and I, we're going to do this for no charge, okay? I mean, you're not going to really have to pay me anything for this, because I'm going to benefit, because I'm going to get a chance to work with some of these people that you already are your clients. But we're going to set it up so that it's as if you are buying it. You're giving it to them as a thank you for being such an honored, great, long-term client of the veterinarians. Okay, and so that's called a joint venture type of a thing. Now, an endorsed mailing is a little different. An endorsed mailing is where you photograph the veterinarian, Okay, so you photograph him and his family, okay? And then you write this incredible testimonial letter from him talking about how incredible this photographer was that created these beautiful photographs of your family. And I just wanted to let all of you know that this Charles Lewis guy is really, really great, and he's really good with animals, okay? I happen to have 3 dogs, he says, and Mr. Lewis was just incredible with our dogs, and they look fantastic. You know, we look good, but the dogs also look really good. So I highly recommend him. That's called an endorsed mailing, where he has a relationship with a specific small, you know, I mean, it's not millions of people, a small group of people, that you're going to cash in on that relationship. And so you work this kind of joint venture endorsed mailing kind of things out with people. And just think about it. You already know people. You have clients you've already worked with that are VIPs, that own their own businesses, that have a relationship built with people. Think through your database of who you've worked with and start going after those people and talking to them and saying, what can we do that'll be mutually beneficial, blah, blah, blah. Which then brings us to number 10, which is speaking at service clubs. This, I mean, you know, we're looking for inexpensive free things to do here, okay? We're trying to build our business without a huge amount of money, you know? One of my favorite sayings, because when I told my dad I was going to open my photography business, he said, you know, Chuck, it takes money to make money. And I said, okay, Dad. And he said, but Chuck, you don't have any money. And I said, because I was dead broke, and I was from a very, very poor family. And I said, well, yeah, you know, and that's one, unfortunately, that's one of the things that I will always remember about my father. There was a lot of great things about him, and I love him, and I miss him. But I'll never forget him saying, well, it takes money to make money. Well, that's not exactly true. Because I started with almost nothing, and I built an enormously successful photography business. And that's kind of what we're talking about here. The 12 things that you can do that are free or almost free. I mean, if you can't make money without money, you probably aren't going to be able to make money with money either. So you got to really become good at this, of starting with almost nothing and going out there and just, you know, beating the bushes and working yourself really aggressively towards the marketing and the selling part of this business, and you will build an enormously successful photography business where then you do have a really good marketing budget and you can put more and more money into the photography business. So anyway, speaking at service clubs, absolutely free. Okay, every women's service club, I prefer women's clubs, every women's service club has, you know, a weekly, many of them have a weekly or a monthly meeting, and they want a guest speaker. And they can't pay anything. You know, they'll joke. They'll say, well, we'll pay you by buying you lunch, you know. Okay. This is an enormously powerful way to get your relationship better, your relationships with people in the community better, because now they know you. You are a person. You've come to them and you've spent 20 minutes with them talking about how beautiful wall portraits for home decor make your home more warm and more gentle and more beautiful. And it's, you know, rather than putting up a lithograph of a red barn, you're putting up a beautiful family portrait of your family and how much, you know, showing all the relationships between all of you at this moment in your lives, and, you know, and you take some images with you on easels, and you just build this incredible rapport with these people, and now you are a person. When they see your name and your exhibits in other places around the town, they are going to connect that with you because they know who you are now. They met you. Very, very powerful. I did this for the first couple of years I was in the photography business when I was dead broke. You know, I had time because I didn't have very many clients, but I sure didn't have any money. And so, you know, I did the exhibits. I did the speaking at women's clubs. I mean, this is the kind of stuff I did. And still, for some of this stuff, I still do, even though I've got money now that I can put into marketing. These free or almost free things are very, very effective. Which then brings us to number 11, which is auctions and charities. My heavens, I've been involved for 30 years with many charities and auctions in our community. Not only is it a good thing to do, you're helping out a good cause, but you're also out there showing what you do. You know what you have not heard me say in this entire issue? You have not heard me say, get your name out there. You never heard me say it, okay? Because that is crazy. Don't ever say that. I want to get my name out there. That's a bunch of what I want to do is get people to know me, get a relationship going, get photographs up where people can look at them, not just get my name out there. You know, that's called institutional advertising, and that does not pay the bills. So what we're doing with auctions and charities that are so effective is that you're showing your, you know, a wall portrait is at the auction. It's a wall portrait, usually a 24 by 30, sometimes a 20 by 24, okay, in a frame. That everybody's seeing that with your signature on it, okay? And it's listed in the program. And people are bidding on it. So you're helping charities and you're also becoming, you're working on building that relationship because people are connecting your name with what you do. They're seeing your photographs there. Which brings us to number 12, which is one you probably wouldn't think of at all unless, I mean, I was desperate, okay? I was starving and I had to pay the bills. And I was a wedding photographer too. I mean, I'm photographing weddings and portraits, okay? So I was photographing weddings anyway. So I had to think of something that would make me famous at that wedding. And what I came up with was the original idea came from Al Gilbert. Way, way back, he gave me the original basic idea of an audiovisual kind of a program. And then I said, well, you know, I wonder if I could do that at weddings. I wonder if I could. And I came up with what I call the Reflections Program. And the Reflections Program is where at the wedding reception, I present this incredible audiovisual program of photographs dissolving together up on a big, big old screen for all the guests to see to music, original music. Todd happens to be very talented in a lot of different ways, and one of the many ways he's very gifted at is he's a great musician and a great composer. And so I went to Todd and I said, Todd, you know, I don't want to violate copyright laws and stuff. You know, can you write some music for me that we could use, that we own the copyright to? And so he wrote our favorite one still is The Four Seasons of Our Love, where what we do is we do photographs of the engaged couple in four different all four seasons, okay? And then there's this beautiful song that he wrote and recorded called The Four Seasons of Our Love, and it's presented at the wedding reception. I mean, I'm famous there, famous, because I introduced the program. We do it at the very beginning of the wedding reception before everybody's drunk, okay? And it's a surprise. We don't tell anybody. The bride and groom and usually the bride's mom knows about it. Nobody else knows. Usually the bride's dad doesn't even know. It's a surprise for him. Okay? And everybody cries and stands up and applauds and comes to you for the whole rest of the wedding reception asking you for business cards. And, you know, do you do anything other than weddings? Do you do portraits? I have twin little girls and I'd love to have you do a beautiful photograph. I mean, it's just incredible. And it's not the only way I market. It's just one of the legs, okay? But you add all the things up that Todd and I have talked about on this CD, and you can see where you literally are creating a brand and you are becoming famous in the community for very, very little money. I mean, I'm at the wedding anyway. Hello? Okay? Plus, I only offer this for my very finest collections. So in order for them to get it, and believe me, brides love this thing, the only way to get it is if they get one of my finer collections. So it makes me more money. I mean, it's great. So there you have the 12 best free or almost free ways to get your telephone ringing with highly qualified callers or your emails coming in, clicking in with highly qualified emailers.
Yeah, and you know, if you add all of these things up, you could do almost all of these things for all together for less investment than it would cost you to print thousands and thousands of full color brochures to mail out to random people.
Yeah.
So we're talking really inexpensive yet very effective ways to get your clients to know that you exist and to get them to take action right now, regardless of what the economy is like. Because remember, no matter what the economy is like, there are always people out there that are looking to invest in what it is that you have. The key is, how do we find them? And we've given you 12 inexpensive ways to find those people and get them to take action.
That's right. You can do this. And you know, the thing I'm trying to encourage you about here is that you've got to go out and take action. You've got to stop thinking of yourself as a photographer who simply sits there and waits for the phone to ring. You are a marketer. You are a seller. That's what you, and you happen to market and sell photography. That's what you do. But you're a marketer and seller first. So you've got to put more and more attention and effort into your marketing and your selling than you actually put into the photography. I mean, yes, we want to have a high quality product, and I'm very proud of what I do, and I want every one of my images leaving my studio the very finest it can be. But frankly, you got to put more time into the marketing and selling, and you will be so successful financially that you'll be dancing in the street, okay? Whether the economy is good, bad, or indifferent. Because like Todd said, there are people looking for a good photographer right now, okay? It might be, some people in a recession, are going to hold tight and hold on to their money and say, oh, I better not do it right now. But not everybody, just some people will. There are still people out there, and you want to get to those people and have them know who you are, love what you do, respect what you do, and take action, take some action, pick up the phone, raise their hand and say, yeah, I'm kind of interested, tell me more. That's what's going to build your business and make it, give you the lifestyle that you demand.